Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 38 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. That's part 38. And this is tape or CD number 140. It's program number 140. And at the end of the program, I'll tell you how to get a copy of this if you're interested, and it's absolutely free. Please specify if you want a tape or a CD. You can also, if you don't have enough finances, you can order a Bible. We'll send it to you free, a Messiah book, and literature. We have several letters here, and but right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to outwardly anoint this service. Lord, pour out Your outward anointing on this servant of Yours. Lord, use my mouth to bring forth that which cometh forth from Your mouth. Cascade Your Spirit, Lord, from Your throne. Use this mouth of mine for people to hear Your voice from, that souls may be saved and the people in the church may be straightened out from the false doctrine that they're in these days. And we'll give You the praise, the honor, the glory, the thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from, please?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay, let's hear it.
Profound Sir, World Pastor Tony Lamo, greeting in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ and soon coming King. Please convey regards to your blessed and dedicated minister, staff, and our beloved brothers and sisters who are in the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries worldwide. I truly respect you because very few servants of God in this world are like you, who perform the great ministry with every effort to extend the kingdom of God in this end time. Thanks a lot for your great love and affection that you have been sending the spiritual and precious gospel materials to so many nations, especially to India. I hope my God will give a great reward at His white throne. Thank you so much for your wonderful world newsletters in Telugu. I received the box on the 28th of February. When I received the box of newsletters in Telugu, I was thrilled. My heart filled with joy and rejoicing. I wanted the world newsletters in Telugu, and God answered my prayers and gave a response. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your world newsletters are changing many people in India. Yes, brother, I need many newsletters in Telugu for distribution in India, especially Andhra Pradesh. Once again, we are thankful to our beloved brothers and sisters who are in the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries worldwide, and also request you to extend your kind generosity towards my little ministry in India. At present, the following literature we need for distribution: 5,000 newsletters in Telugu every month, 100 Bibles in Telugu, 50 English Bibles, 100 taped messages, 25 videotapes, one tape recorder, and one box of used clothing. Thank you, your brother in Christ, K.R. Bathula, from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay, praise the Lord. Where's the next letter from?
From Sittard, Holland. Dear Pastor Lamo, the following person would like you to send her family the Lord's literature and three Messiah books in French, and would also like to start receiving monthly at least 100 copies in Dutch or Holland's language for free distribution. Signed, Rosalina, from Sittard, Holland.
From the Deutschland. Right. I was in Holland. We just passed through one night going to Germany. In our vehicle, we stopped there to have take some gas into our vehicle, and we were on our merry way down to Autobahn. And spent a night over in Brussels, Belgium as well. And yeah, they speak a lot of French over there and a lot of Dutch. But okay, go ahead now. Where's the next one?
From Nigeria, Africa.
Okay.
Tony Lamo, World Pastor. With reference to the recent outpouring of literature that turned the hearts of many souls to Christ upon our doorsteps, it is worth much appreciation, and to God be the glory. In recent years, I have never seen literature touch and convert souls like these messages through your divine-given words to many souls within a large community of northern states of Nigeria, e.g., Borno State and local governments. I appreciate all your wonderful efforts by sending down to us in Africa through one of your servants, Brother Hassan, who always loads us up loads us as a ministry with different literature free of charge to spread the gospel of Jesus. I am delighted to recommend this faithful servant of God who uses his money to pay transportation for the distribution of those materials to many locations, both near and far. I urge you, please, to send more literature for the spreading of gospel truth to all nations. May the Lord continue to open doors for his gospel and reach all souls before his glorious coming. Remain blessed. Yours faithfully, Joseph from Borno State, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, is that all the letters? All right, Sharon, you can come forward. Thank you very much. And let's continue on with how to have God's light living in you. Part 38.
Some people don't care about the withering up of one of the members of the body of Christ at all.
Right, and that's because, as it happened in the book of Joshua, they have a lot of people came out of Egypt, and the parents didn't care about circumcising the male children, and there's no way that they could enter into the promised land until they were circumcised. They were so eager to get blessings that they forgot about their children. And here they were heading onward, and they had 40 years to do this. All the old people in the warriors had passed away because they had neglected their children, didn't have them circumcised as was the commandment of the Lord. Even Moses failed to circumcise his children, his male children, and that was the law. But now, of course, the New Testament tells us that we are not to circumcise our male children outwardly, that everyone has to be circumcised in the heart. And so what the problem is today is it's the same thing. Everybody's talking in churches about having blessings and what can God do for me and what is God going to do for me, I, which is the people are not selfless and not obedient to the Word of God. The churches are filled today with children. They're sitting in church, but they're uncircumcised of heart. And therefore, they're not saved, and if the breath goes out of their body, they're going to be in hell with everyone else that's not saved. Sitting in church does not save a person's soul. Sitting in church it's the same thing as the people in the book of Joshua, where it states that they were delivered from Egypt, and yet they still were not saved. Until the God was going to kill Moses because he didn't circumcise his children. In other words, he didn't make his children obey the commandments of the Lord. And our churches today are filled with people that are all they're looking for is they're totally ignoring their children. They're not paying any attention to them. And therefore, they're the ones that got to, in the Old Testament, that got to go into the Promised Land. And the old ones that did, they neglected their children and were only interested in benefits, blessings, prosperity. They were just in such a rush to get there that they totally forgot about their children. And the Bible tells us that if we forget about our children, that we're worse than infidels. The Bible commands us to raise up our children fear of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the people in the church are trying to do it. Our church is filled with a bunch of unsaved people, children that have not been circumcised in the heart because their parents think that working on certain jobs is more important than being with their children. And the children, when they are in a church and unsaved, they haven't been circumcised in their heart, they turn out to be the most wicked children in the world. And, you know, this is uncalled for. It's unnecessary because the Lord tells us to do that. Let's read those scriptures in Joshua, all right? Do you have them?
Yes.
Okay, we're that's in, what, the fifth chapter?
Yes.
Fifth chapter and verse 2 through 5?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt.
See, all the men of war, every old ones were there, and they never took care of the kids. Amen?
Amen.
And so they didn't teach them what the Lord had said. You must be circumcised. You must. That was a covenant between the children of Israel and the Lord. And without a covenant, that means you don't have a promise. And if you don't have a promise, you don't get into the promised land. Amen?
Amen.
And so every one of the people in the church, there's millions of people sitting in churches, and they have not been circumcised in the heart. In other words, the seed of God has not been planted in them. Now, if the seed of God remains in a person, it's impossible for them to sin. A seed cannot grow unless it's the seed of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God has not pierced their heart and entered in. It has not entered into their heart. The sharp, double-edged sword of God has not circumcised. The Word of God has not circumcised their heart, and they're sitting in the church totally uncircumcised. They're not taught to keep the double-edged sword in their hands and to have the full armor of God on, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the cloak of zeal, the shield of faith, girt about with the truth, and to have the boots, the shoes of the gospel, to stand firm on the gospel and carry that double-edged sword. They weren't even teaching their children the simple, easy thing to make sure that you have the covenant with the Lord. And so Joshua was faithful. Moses wasn't in that respect, because they were not circumcised. And Moses lost his life because he smote the rock, which was symbolic of the Rock of Ages. I heard Reverend Hagee today say that we have to be loyal to one another. Yeah, but Reverend Hagee, I mean, I'm not saying this because, you know, I'm trying to ruin you or anything, but we have to be loyal to the Word of the Lord. Now, there's a lot of people in church that we're not to be loyal to. We're to be loyal to the Lord. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He says, we all got to stick together. Well, first of all, I don't believe that President Bush is what you say he is. He's a Catholic. One moment you're preaching against the Catholic doctrine, and then the next minute you're saying that don't fight President Bush. I'll tell you one thing. We're in this world, we have to fight. Now, God fought in the kingdom of heaven. He sent his warrior angel, Michael, to throw Satan out of the kingdom of heaven, because the Lord will not allow any sin in the kingdom of heaven. And that's why every person's heart has to be pierced with the Spirit of God. Because if you don't, if it's not circumcised by the double-edged sword, the Word of God is the double-edged sword, and the Word of God is Spirit and truth. So the Spirit of God, the seed, it's also the seed has to be planted in a person's heart, because once the seed or the double-edged sword has circumcised the heart and the seed is living in there, then the Bible says it's impossible for a person to sin because the seed remains in them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so, you know, people just think that you're sitting in church. That's the same way with these people in the book of Joshua. They were in the congregation. They had been rescued. They'd been saved. God opened up the Red Sea for them, and they went through. And yet, they were not circumcised. They didn't circumcise their youth. And the Lord says that it's important, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And so people are totally unconcerned about their kids. They leave them with babysitters and and the young Christians that come in, they're totally unconcerned about them. They get saved, and yet they just let them fall away. Some of them say, the older Christians who Sue and I had a lot of patience with, don't have any patience or mercy on the people that are coming in now. They forget that they act extremely crazy, baby Christians do. And they say, oh, this person is real crazy. Should we take him down the hill? They just want to kick him out of the church right away. And that isn't what the Lord wants. These people are not pieces of garbage that you can... It's just the older people that have been sitting in the churches have not been circumcised in their hearts yet because they have no mercy. And the seed of God is not in them because they're supposed to nurture and bring up those new baby Christians in the Word of God so that they'll be able to carry on this work when you older people in the church grow old, too old to actually go out in the streets and witness and testify. And they see that you're not circumcised in the heart. They see that the seed is not in you and that the seed that's in you is not growing because they see you sinning. They know that the Lord, through the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, tell you to be concerned about the young Christians in the church and to be concerned about your children and all the other things to make sure that there's a lot of mercy sowed in the church towards young Christians and towards new Christians, new converts, and also your children. Now, the reason I'm talking to I don't want to stick together with the person that says that George Bush is the Messiah or that we should follow everything that he says when President Bush says that he's going to implement all the wishes of the Pope. And the Pope is the worst enemy that this country has ever known because this is where the Antichrist sits, is in Rome, the city of the seven mountains. And so, Reverend Hagee, make up your mind. I mean, I believe that you're a Christian, but don't be saying crazy things like that because it's not true. Now, the Apostle Paul rebuked the Apostle Peter right in front of everybody because he was wrong, and you're wrong. And, you know, don't be angry at me because I rebuke you, because I don't want your soul to go to hell for teaching people that they should follow the Pope. Because Bush is not a smart man. If he were, he would not be following the orders of the Pope and saying that he's a great man and that he should that we should all back him up and back President Bush up, who is a slave of the Pope, a slave of Rome, and has built monuments in Washington, D.C. for the Pope, John Paul II, who was a child molester and a homosexual. I mean, for President Bush, it has to be a very, have the mind of, I've even met pea pickers and cotton pickers that have more brains than that. Okay, people that are saved. President Bush is not saved, but President Bush is not the one. He's doing what the Pope tells him to do. The actual person that's a very sinister is the Pope, but President Bush is sinister because he's doing what the Pope tells him to do. Now, the popes and the people in the Vatican, these are the embodiments of Satan himself. The spirit of Satan dwells in them. And Reverend Hagee, you just need... I will sometimes wonder when I hear you say the things that you do, whether you have your heart circumcised or not. I doubt that you do sometimes because you stated that Jesus had different blood than we do. And that is a dirty, filthy lie. The Lord says that his blood was perfect because he never committed a sin. But he had genuine human blood. Genuine human blood. God doesn't have blood. God is the Spirit. God is not... a man with blood. So he had to come to the world and have genuine human blood so that he could keep the commandments, that it would be pure, that he could shed it for our sakes and show us that even though we have human blood in us, if we have the Spirit of God in us, like Jesus did, that we are more than conquerors to do everything that he says for us to do and everything that he did. We shall lay hands on the sick and afflicted, and they shall recover. We shall cast out devils because we keep the Lord's commandments, and because we do that, because his seed abides in us, because the double-edged sword has circumcised us, we're obedient to him. And because we're obedient, we have this power. These signs shall follow those that believe. Then another thing he said today on the television that I watched was that it's just so many things. You said that people need to stick together. No matter, as long as you're in the same congregation. I believe that you're just preaching to your own congregation so that they don't lose. You don't lose them. Many of them have heard you say these heretical things, and they are not as stupid as you think they are. You should study, you should get a hold of the Lord. You should let your heart be circumcised so that you don't say these unscriptural things. Now, if I'm unscriptural, I would love it if you would tell me. But you don't like to acknowledge me. But I heard you say some of the things I've said on my tapes. I hear you from now and then doing that, and I hear other people do that. And what it does is it gets you some credibility, but then you spoil it all by telling us that we should not fight President Bush. We must war. If we are not going to war, then we're not like God. God even warred in heaven when he had Michael throw the devil and all of his angels out of the kingdom of heaven. We must fight the good fight of faith here on this earth. And if there are people in this ministry that are saying things that are wrong, then we have to warn you. And if you're of the Lord, then you're going to repent. And you should get out in front of your congregation and the world and tell them, yes, you did err by saying that Jesus had different blood than human blood. What kind of blood did he have? Divine blood? No, the spirit that in him was divine, and the blood was in him was made divine because he kept the commandments, but it was human blood. That made it the detergent strong enough to take away all of our sins and give us the confidence that we, with the Spirit of God, are able to do that too, because that's the whole point of Christ coming here. The point of him coming into the world as a man is to show us that we as men can, with the same Spirit of God in us, do the same things that he did. And if you want to make him, his blood divine, any more than ours is after we're saved, then he wouldn't be our brother. And you're saying things that are so awful that it's just a wonder to me that the Lord doesn't take your life. You repent and believe the gospel. Okay, now what else do we have here? Now read the rest of that scripture.
Okay. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt.
In other words, the children. Then what?
Them they had not circumcised.
So they didn't take care of God's business. Amen?
Amen.
And if you'll notice, God threatened Moses that he was going to kill him because he did not take care of his kids. He didn't cause his children to know what the covenant made. And God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said that you must circumcise the children. All the people of Israel must do that. And they didn't do that. Now, God is a good God, and he's a God of love, but he's also a severe God, and God kills. And he did threaten to kill Moses, and he threatened to kill me when he said, get up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's coming back to earth again, or you shall surely die. And he showed me hell, and that made me know that he was threatening to kill me and send my soul to hell. Now, that stayed in my heart all these years, that the main thing that he wants me to do is tell you people, and some of you illustrious people that have large ministries, you know, you can pop your hands and say, glory be to God, and come on, everybody, give God a hand, and all this sort of stuff. But I don't see anything like that in the scriptures either. I just don't see it. There's so many other things that I've heard you say. I wished I would have had a pen there. I would have written them down, because every time I hear you do something like that, I'm going to tell the folks. Okay? So shape it up. Get your heart pierced with the double-edged sword and start coming up with these new, this new gospel, which is not a gospel at all. Because the Bible tells you, if you preach another gospel that the apostles did not preach, then you're accursed. There's no new gospel. Another thing you said today was that everything in the Bible was literal. And no, there's also metaphors in the Bible. Now, there are literal meanings in the Bible, and there are metaphors, symbols. The Word of God is extremely symbolic. Otherwise, I'd like to hear you break down the book of Daniel and the book of Revelations. Those are all mostly symbolic, my friend. Okay, so don't tell everybody that it's absolutely literal. It's literally right, but there's a lot of it that's symbolic, and the symbols are absolutely right. You should say that the scriptures are positively the truth, but they're not all literal. Literal means that everybody can understand the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. But it's so symbolized that God makes it, says it in symbols, figures, types, shadows, or metaphors, so that he can determine the ones that are searching out the scriptures to be able to tell whether they be true, or that these people are true, that they're really pierced in their heart, that their hearts have been circumcised by the Word of God. And you people in the churches, you better start teaching your children and taking some time, because a lot of them are not, they don't have their hearts circumcised, and therefore they're not more than conquerors. And many of them are getting on drugs. People that are sitting in church, many of them are joining the army. Many of them are getting into sexual promiscuity. Many of them are committing suicide. And it's your fault. Now, if this message gets to you and you realize that you're wrong and your child did commit suicide or is on drugs, don't you commit suicide. If you did it ignorantly, get a hold of the Lord and get forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are people that are withering. All these people that are not pierced, circumcised of heart, they're withering in the church, and they're committing suicide and falling away like flies. Satan is able to get to them. They're not more than conquerors because they don't have the seed in their spirit. Now continue reading, please. The Bible is symbolic and literal. Some places are very literal, and some places are symbolic. Don't say that anymore. You can say that the entire Bible is 100% true, but that you need to be in the spirit to understand the symbolic meanings of it. Because symbolism is not literal. Amen?
Amen.
When you get to the bottom of it, then you can make it to where people can literally understand it. But if it's symbolic, they don't know unless they get saved or unless they receive it from people like myself, from the Lord, that is piping down from heaven, then they can receive it as a literal part of the Word of God, but it's written symbolically. Amen?
Amen.
Like, for instance, a symbol of the Lord is this rock. Not Peter, he's a stone. We're lively stones. Millions of us compose the walls of the New Jerusalem. We're lively stones because the life-giving Spirit has entered us, and we become little stones. We don't become the rock of ages, and neither did Peter. Of all people who denied the Lord three times, for God's sake, wake up. Okay, then what? Now go into the New Testament that tells the same story in 1 John.
1 John chapter 3, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever is born of God doth not...
Whoever has been circumcised of heart, in other words, where the Spirit of God entered into your heart, and the double-edged sword circumcised it, you're born of God then. Amen?
Amen.
If you're not born of God, there's no power in you whatsoever. Okay, so read that again.
Whosoever is born of God,
in other words, circumcised of heart, then what?
Doth not commit sin.
You cannot, with the Spirit of God is in you, with the Father, Jesus, with the Father, and by the Spirit is in you, that you're still going to sin. You're still going to lust after men, and you women are going to lust after men, and you men are going to be lusting after women. And you're going to quote the Bible wrong, as Pastor Hagee keeps saying. Now, there's something wrong with people like that. You're sinning if you're leading people astray by telling them false things and telling them that the Bible is literal. Now, the Pope said, anyone, even the Pope knows better than that. He said, anyone that believes that the Bible is literal is crazy. So according to the Pope, you're crazy. I believe that the Bible is, if he said it was, anyone that believes that the Bible is literally literally right is crazy. He says that many other ways, the Pope. He says the Bible is dangerous. When the Bible tells you that if you don't read the Bible, it's dangerous, that you'll fall away and wind up in hell in the lake of fire. Anybody that would believe the Pope on that is crazy. But you that believe that the whole Bible is literal, it's literally right, but it's also literal and symbolic. All the symbols are right as well. Absolutely the absolute truth. Okay, then what? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, now if you do, I know you're not the brightest people in the world, then I know the people out in radio land understand it, okay? How do you like that? Now, I'm not going to mention the names here, so they won't be embarrassed. All right, then what?
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him.
His seed. Okay, the seed is the Spirit of God is sown in you. The word pierced your heart. It cut into your heart and circumcised your heart and cut away that old flesh, the old sinful ways, your old sinful life, and drowned all your filthy sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And now he doesn't remember them anymore, but you have to obey the word. The word says, now don't sin. Go and sin no more, because anyone that does sin is what?
Of the devil.
It's of the devil. And anyone that has been pierced, the seed that you're saved, cannot sin. because the seed in you is the Word of God, and it is God Himself. The Word is God, and the God became flesh. Well, did he have a special kind of flesh, Mr. Hagee, or was he a real human? The Bible says that he was a real human. And if he's a real human, then he had real blood. Amen?
Amen.
And his blood washes whiter than snow because he never sinned. He obeyed God in every way, even to the death. Okay, then what?
And he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Yeah, because he's been circumcised with God's word, with the double-edged sword that cut that flesh, and God is living in him. Now, before you're saved, you're born of man. That's why we have to be born again. Born again by the Spirit. The Spirit has to actually penetrate your heart. That's what the Lord is talking about with marriage couples, that are of the Lord. When you penetrate her, your wife, your one flesh, and you're not to be thinking of other men. You're not to. Because you're one flesh with that husband, and the husband is the one that's supposed to, he has to guide you into the kingdom of God. And if you rebel against your husband, then you're rebelling against your own soul. Because the husband is the savior of the body, the woman. Because the Spirit of God is in him, and he is to let God pour out his Spirit into that wife. And she is supposed to, wives, obey your husbands, amen, in the Lord. Only in the Lord, though, amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, the other scriptures that I gave you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Galatians 6:1.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness.
Okay, in meekness. Now, meekness means meekness before a man. That doesn't mean you're supposed to act like one of these Nelly homosexuals at all, because the Lord never was that way at all. He was never Nelly. He's the same one that turned over the money changers' tables, and he rebukes us. The Satan out of people and healed and cleansed people. I'll read it again.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault.
Okay, now, in other words, if a man is withering in church, if you see somebody falling in church, then if you have mercy, and if the seed, the Lord, is in you, then the Lord is going to be quickened in you, and it's going to gravitate you to that person and help lift them up, because it's the Lord's commandments, and you're going to be meek before the Lord to lift them up and be patient with them. Like, they're calling me every day, side one church or the other, and tell me, well, this person's really acting weird in the church. How long have they been there? 2 days. Well, let me tell you, I know this man in the church doesn't mind me telling this. Around 36 years ago, the police called me up in Los Angeles, and the fire department, he says, Tony Alano? I said, yes, sir. He says, do you know a guy named Sonny Brubach? And I says, yes. He says, he just came to the church one time, and he was gone. They said, we've got him in this church over here, and he's standing us off. And, like, he's jumping from one pew to the other and everything, and he says he won't talk to anybody but you. And if anyone was crazy acting, it was him. And everyone, having a lot of baby Christians in the church is just like having a bunch of little monkeys. Some of them are up on the chandelier, some are hanging on the doorknob, and other ones are up on the curtains, and spiritually, I'm talking about. And others are, we had people in our church that had a big fireplace and be real hot, and the spirit of Satan would come and say, now, if you really love me, if you really believe in me, then put your hands on that fireplace. And it was just as hot as can be. And hold him there. And so somebody saw him and said, what are you doing? He was in agony. He said, well, the Lord told me to put my hands on. Say, you are not, listen, you're a baby Christian. And before you do anything that the Spirit is telling you, talk to Pastor Tony, okay? Because the devil put me on some trips, too, when I was a baby Christian. And actually, Art Linkletter's daughter was up on, the devil told her to go up on a building. And she was on drugs. He said, now, if you really love me, jump off of this building, and I'll send my angels to bear you up, to bear thee up, so that you shall not dash your foot on one of the parking meters down below, or one of the curbs, or whatever, in the gutters, or the sidewalk. And she jumped, and she was killed. And this is when Art Linkletter got turned on to these drug programs. But the drug programs are not going to save people's souls or get people off of drugs. What they do is put them on methadone, which is another drug. The government doesn't have any solution for that, but the Lord does. We have seen literally tens of thousands of people in just the churches in L.A. get saved, and they were loaded out of their gourds, out of their minds on drugs. And when the Spirit of God enters into them, they don't have any withdrawals or if they were alcoholics or if they were taking every kind of drug, uppers, downers, inners, outers, sniffing glue, smoking banana peels or bananas or dried bananas and sniffing gas and glue and everything else. They just came off of it 100%. They're clean and no withdrawals whatsoever. People that had problems with all kinds of hang-ups that they have today, they all came off them immediately. And people that needed healing, they were healed immediately. And so, read that again.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken
in a fault. So when you see these people in the church like that, don't wait until nighttime. Just when you see the baby Christian doing something. The Lord told me when I was in, tell me immediately and I'll talk to him and I'll tell him what the devil is doing to them. And then I'll tell him some words that the Lord gives me and it'll pull them right up every time. Some of them say, well, I've been in here now for 3 months and the Lord is telling me to go off and open my own ministry. Well, you're not grounded enough yet. Even the Apostle Paul had to be rooted and grounded for 17 years before he went out and preached the gospel until he was ready. And that was about when the Lord took Susie and I, after we'd been married 17 years, and I had to go in and do all this preaching and teaching myself. Okay, so you're not going to learn it overnight. I saw an ad for short thing about the people in California, and this grape grower says, I've been growing grapes for about 50 years now. And he says, and I keep learning stuff. Now, I've got the best grapes here in California. I'm so pleased with the grapes. But it's taken me 50 years to get to the point to where these grapes are as fine as they are now. So how, if it takes that long to have enough moxie or understanding of what to do, how to grow good grapes, The Bible likens us as clusters of grapes that everybody needs nurturing. People in the church, the body of Christ, the church is actually people that are filled with the Spirit of God. They're like, every day they wither up if you don't get in there and help them. Every day, these dozens of baby Christians need to be dealt with for someone, and I have to get in there and talk to them. But if the older Christians don't even care enough about them to call me on the phone when something like this is happening, when they're falling away, well, then you're like the person that doesn't care, and you don't have Christ in you. The love of Christ is not in you. You don't have the mercy of Christ to call me. Now, you older people in the church, you don't know what to do, because I have the hearing ears of the Lord on earth today. I hear from God. And if you put these people on the phone with me, I will heal this soul that's withering right in front of your eyes. These souls that wither and fall away every day. And that's what the Lord is talking about, is that we need to get in there and take care of the people that are withering away. That means your children, because children, it takes 50 years to even get to know how to grow grapes properly. How do you think that your children, when you don't attend to them on a daily basis, or the people that are in the church, especially these young Christians that are coming in, if you're not tending to them, and if you don't know what to say, don't be just saying anything. There's nothing cut and dry in the spiritual realm. Some of you have got coined phrases that you tell people. Well, you know, read the Bible, or do this, and do that, and this. It's like you just think that you've really nurtured that person up. Study these tapes and see how God, through me, is nurturing you and telling you all the different intricacies of the Spirit and the things that are happening within you. The Lord wants to deal with you inwardly. He wants to have you mature spiritually, so that you can be so mature that you understand these things to the point to where you can teach them to others and deal with us, not just as teaching, but to just deal with people. If you don't know how, call on the phone. Some of the things you may know, but it's for sure, everyone that people have been telling, this one's acting crazy. Every single one of you people in my church act crazy before you for 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years, and some of you are still acting crazy because you're not healing with the word. You're not dealing with the people in the church that are withering away and falling away. Okay, now finish up here.
Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one.
Yeah, if you're spiritual, but it's obvious that you're not spiritual. You yourself, I think it's because maybe you haven't been circumcised yet. Circumcised in the heart. Now, we don't need to get circumcised outwardly in the flesh. That's over with. Now, that was just symbolic of being circumcised in the heart. Read that scripture. We're going to leave here for a minute, and then we'll read that scripture, circumcision of the heart. Okay? In the New Testament.
This is Romans chapter 2, verse 28 through 29.
Okay, just speak right up. Be proud of the word.
For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly.
Okay, when you get saved, you become a spiritual Jew. And Jews, even if they get saved, they don't nurture, someone doesn't nurture them, they'll fall away. It's just like leaving a newborn babe out on the street without giving them milk. And you don't give them a whole bottle of milk. Newborn babies have to have multiple feedings during the day. They may drink a half of an ounce, or maybe a quarter of an ounce of milk. And then maybe 2 hours later, they want a little bit more, and they'll start crying, so you just give them the bottle again, let them drink another. You don't cram the whole bottle down their throat, or you don't try to stuff a piece of beefsteak into their mouth and get a plunger and plunge it down in there, or a stick or something. That's what you people are expecting baby Christians, that they should know what you know after you've been in the church for 36 years. Now, you don't have any patience whatsoever, and the Lord is bringing this message in regard to you Sabbath in the Lord. And slow down on whatever else you're doing or whatever you think is so important, because the Lord's children that are in the church are the most important thing, and your children are the most important thing. And that's what Jesus died for, is for those people to be nurtured and for their withered, not just their hands, but their souls that are withering away. need to be fed the Spirit of God so that are healed. They are healed by the Word of God. And when they have the faith of God, which comes from the Word, from you telling them the right word, if you don't know the right word, come out. Some of the things you people tell people are unbelievable. The actual scriptures you give them are not even pertaining to the actual situation. That's why I'm suspicious, very suspicious about you not being circumcised in the heart. Now go ahead and read that.
For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God.
Right. So if you're when you're circumcised, the heart and the seed, which is Christ, with his Father and by the Spirit, and the Lord is now the Holy Spirit, he enters into you, and the seed is in there, and if he remains because you're faithful to the Word, then you cannot sin. And these people that say, well, you can sin and God doesn't care. No, you're not born again of the Spirit. The reason that so many people think they can sin is because they keep sinning after they say the sinner's prayer. And because even though they said the prayer, the Spirit, you need to be circumcised with the heart. The actual Lord has to enter into your heart. Jesus with his Father by the Spirit enters into you, and then you have the power to be saved. You're saved then, and then you have the power to rebuke sin. You come against sin in the blood of Jesus whenever you're tempted. If you have the power in you to just turn your head, you have a problem looking at men, then turn your head. Okay, isn't that easy to twist your neck a little bit? Amen?
Amen.
Or to bow your eyes unto the Lord and call upon him? Amen? But it's just so hard. Well, if it's so hard, then you haven't been pierced. You haven't been circumcised in the heart yet. Is it so hard for you to turn away quickly? Or if you're a man and you just keep lusting after, you know, everybody's going to be tempted after you're saved. But it's so easy to just get your mind on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And these are messages that the Lord is giving unto you because he knows some of you very well could be withering. Amen? Your souls, you may have a problem with these things, but the closer you get to the Lord, the less these things will affect you at all. Okay, because the Lord's Spirit is what gave life and power to everything enough to grow and have life. And his Spirit entering into your heart has the power to that gives you new life, which is immortality, life evermore in heaven. And that same Spirit in you gives you the power to turn your head away from things. Okay? And a lot of people say, well, you know, I am like mesmerized, hypnotized by all these different things that we see during the day. I thank God that I'm legally blind. Amen? That way I don't have to fight that situation so hard. Amen? I've heard that some people were actually naked and walked by me and I didn't even see. I got pinpoint vision. It's like they're looking through, one of them is like looking through a pinhole, one at my right eye. And my left eye is like looking through like a knot hole. So I'm able to get around, but very faintly anyway. So I thank God for that. He fixed me good. Amen? Because I was such a wild ringleader before I got saved, I'm glad he fixed me up. Amen? Whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is that I need, fix me. Amen? And let me have, let that Spirit of God dwell in me to wither up anything, to heal any withered thing that's in me and make it, the withered thing, strong. Actually, even more stronger than anything else in me. In the name of Jesus, Father. In the name of Jesus. And, oh, I see the time is up again. Amen? So don't fail to tune in tomorrow to hear part 39 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. In the meantime, I told you that there'd be four different ways that I'd have Sharon here tell you how you can get this program if you'd like. It is program number 140. Please specify if you want a tape or a CD. Well, how can they receive this tape or CD, Sister Sharon?
You can go to alamoministries.com. You can write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
Now, those of you that have, you may say, well, gosh, we let our children go astray. Well, then you say, well, my kid is just no good. He's just bad. See, hey, we were all no good, okay? Check yourself out and see how you line up with the Word of God first, amen?
Amen.
Before you start judging your son or daughter. If you've done everything in your power, I've yielded to the Lord, given everything of your power unto the Lord, and let Him live in you, the strongest force in the entire universe is love. If you show love and concern to your son or daughter, and love and concern to the new Christians that come in, and concern also for the older people in the Lord, God will heal them, and also heal the things that are withering in your life. Now, everybody's got something that needs to be strengthened. Amen?
Yeah.
Is there anybody that I in this world that doesn't need God's power on a daily basis in many areas?
No.
No. Okay, so you can have the power of God living in you right now by saying this prayer to the Lord. Now, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ will enter into you with His Father by the Spirit of God. Now, if you'll just repeat these words to Him. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood that to wash away all the sins, former sins that I've ever committed. I open up the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all the dirty, filthy sins that I've ever committed in my life away and drown them in the sea of Your forgetfulness. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because Your Word says so. Your Word says that You'll turn no one away. And it says, anyone, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, they'll be pierced, they'll be circumcised. The Spirit of God will enter into you. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, will enter into you. Therefore, I know that You hear everything, Lord. You even know the murmurs of our heart and the things in our minds. So I know You've heard me. I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands in the air and praise and thank the Lord for your salvation, for being circumcised of the heart. And make sure you tune in tomorrow, which will be part number 39 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.